Friends in Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Now the words I'd like to consider with you from Mark chapter 13. Again, as they were coming out of the temple one day, and this was fairly close to the time then of Christ's crucifixion. He was in Jerusalem at that time. They came out of the temple, and one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what magnificent buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be here left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And he went and sat opposite the Mount of Olives and opposite the temple at the Mount of Olives. And Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. These must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pangs." And then later in verse 13, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is God's word. Please be seated. On August 1st, 2007, and that was just a couple of days after some of our youth had left Minneapolis, where we had attended a conference. On August 1st of that year, 2007, the I-35 bridge over the Mississippi River came crashing down. And you see a picture of it. Dozens of trucks and cars that were caught up in rush hour traffic plummeted about 115 feet down to the river or to the river banks. This massive structure fell and crumbled like a house of cards in just a few moments, killing 13 people and injuring 145 others. Now, when that bridge was built back in 1967, it was considered to be an architectural wonder, really, the longest span of its kind. But on that evening of August 1st, 2007, that marvel of human ingenuity and engineering was reduced in a matter of seconds to a twisted pile of rubble. And you can see a school bus in that picture as well. That school bus was carrying 60 children, and it came within just a hair's breadth of being tossed into the fast-flowing currents of the Mississippi River. And the tragedy would have been multiplied many times. If only the victims of this tragedy could have known. And now you heard about the wounded veterans who were in that parade and who got stuck on the railroad tracks and got hit by a train. A number of them were killed. If only they had known the time and the date of that tragedy, they could have steered clear of the whole thing. But the thing is, we never know about these things, do we? You just never know. The temple in Jerusalem was far more spectacular than any modern-day bridge. It was a colossal architectural masterpiece. It was an engineering marvel, the way they cut out these massive blocks of stone and cut them so precisely and set them in place with tools unlike anything that we have, and we don't understand how they did it. It was a marvel of engineering. And it was stunningly beautiful, the edifice of that building. It was really nothing short of a man-made wonder, that temple in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, that temple was still under construction during the days of Jesus. So when Jesus was sitting opposite the temple and he said to his disciples that it's all coming down, that would have been inconceivable to them. It's not even finished yet, and you're talking about the whole thing coming down? But Jesus says, not a single stone here will be left in its place. Every one of them will be thrown down. And of course, the natural question that comes up in the mind of the disciples is, well, when? When is that going to happen? And will there be any signs that this is going to about to happen? And history, of course, teaches us the answer to their immediate question, that the temple was destroyed just 40 years later, in 70 AD, just 6 years after it was completed. It was destroyed. But Jesus has so much more on his mind than the destruction of a building. He is drawing near to his cross at this point in his ministry. And he wants to use the disciples' question as a segue into a mysterious discussion about the end of time, when there will be wars and rumors of wars, and there will be false prophets that lead many astray, and there will be persecutions and famine. And now, you know, today we see the Middle East on the brink of war again, as Israelis and Palestinians are lobbing bombs at each other's cities. And a lot of people are starting to wonder, man, are we getting even closer now to the end? But then Jesus lowers the boom on that kind of thinking, and he reminds us that we aren't to be alarmed when these things happen. He says the end is not yet. These are the beginnings of the birth pangs as we await the rebirth of the creation. The truth is, like the victims of that bridge collapse in Minneapolis, you never know. You never know when he may come. Not that a lot of people haven't tried to figure it out, and the Lord has made a fool out of all of them. Hal Lindsey thought it would be 1989 or before. Pat Robertson said 1982. Charles Taze Russell and the Jehovah's Witnesses must have set the end time date 8 or 10 times, and they were wrong every time. And then most recently, Harold Camping set the date for May 21st last year, just days before my wife's birthday. Would have spared me having to buy birthday gifts. But then that day came and went, and I had to quick get some birthday gifts around. And then he said, oh, I guess I calculated that wrong. I guess it's going to be October 21st, the day before my birthday, which would have spared her having to get me gifts. And then that day came and went, and she didn't have nearly as much time to buy my gifts as I... Even Pope John, that's the Pope who was before Pope John Paul, even Pope John got in on the act. And he thought it would happen during the 1990s. And now, of course, a lot of people are thinking about the ancient Mayan calendar that ends on, I don't know, what day is it, December 21st? And a lot of people speculating that maybe that will be the last day? As if God has scheduled everything by the Mayan calendar? But when that day passes, once again, the teaching of Jesus will be shown to be true. You never know. You're not supposed to know. If you could know, wouldn't that spoil the whole point of being watchful and prepared? That's the whole point, you see. Back in my childhood, my brothers and I used to play a game that we called uphill, downhill football. It was a little two-on-one passing game that we used to play on our sloped backyard. We would play from the bottom of the hill up toward the top and keep score about who could score touchdowns and catch the most passes. And it was always, almost always, my mom who would end our playtime during those summer months. Summer months, you know, you could sometimes play till 9 o'clock in the evening. And so as kids, you know, we didn't wear watches. We just were playing and the evening was going on and we would lose all track of time. We didn't know whether we had 90 minutes or 45 minutes or 1 minute left to play. At any time, mom might call out the back kitchen window, "Okay, time to come in, boys." And like that, it was game over. And I recall my brother one time saying something to the effect that our game of football was a little different than the professionals because they had a clock. I guess that was the only thing that made it different than the pros. But then he also said something I remember. He said, the best strategy, when you don't know when the game is going to end, the best strategy is to get ahead and stay ahead. So whenever the game is over, you're victorious. Now, I was the youngest of the boys, so I don't think I ever won, ever. But you know, my brother stumbled onto some really good theological advice and some really good life advice. The best strategy is to get ahead and to stay ahead so that whenever the game ends, you know you're going to win. Well, that sounds a lot like the end of verse 13 when Jesus says, the one who endures to the end will be saved. But how do you do that? How do you get ahead and stay ahead so that you can be victorious? Well, let me tell you what readiness for the end time does not mean. To stand in the victory of Christ And to be ready for the end does not mean that you have to have lived X number of sinless hours just prior to his coming, or else. If that's the case, none of us is going to make it. Being ready and standing in the victory of Christ does not mean that we have to be constantly wandering and worrying and with uncertainty and so that we are of no earthly good. Standing in his victory and being ready for the end does not mean that we have to have a certain number of merits to our credit, certain number of good deeds relative to the span of our life. The way to be prepared, the way to get ahead, so that you stand in victory when he comes, is to be in a strong relationship with your Father in heaven through his Son. To come into the presence of the Holy One, like you're doing this morning, confessing your sins, trusting that the crucified and risen Savior has atoned for all of them, to let the words of the absolution wash over you. You are forgiven. Peace be with you. And to taste the goodness of God in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, and to believe it when Jesus says, it's for you, for your forgiveness. That's how you get ahead and stay ahead. So that when he comes, whenever he comes, you are victorious. That's what it means to be ready. End of story. Well, maybe not quite the end of the story. Salvation is a done deal. We are the victors through Christ who gave us his victory. But his story goes on. It marches on, and you and I are called to be a part of that story and to interact with that story. Because Jesus says in this gospel reading that the end, before the end comes, the gospel must be preached to all the nations. That means there is an interactive component to this whole end times doctrine. It's comforting for us to know that Jesus holds off his coming until more and more people have the opportunity to hear his gospel. But it's also challenging to know that he holds off his coming because he's giving us more time to tell the good news. So life in the church is never about sitting in the pews and twiddling our thumbs or watching the game from the sidelines and waiting for the blast of a trumpet. We've got work to do. We're in the game that others may live. There's a world full of people, friends, a world full of people just outside these doors that are worried sick about the end. Whether their own end, when who knows, someday a bridge might collapse underneath them and drop them 115 feet to their death. Or whether the end of time itself, but they're worried about it. They're worried that they haven't been good enough. They're worried that they don't know enough. They're worried that they may not have been busy enough to enter the kingdom of God. Others worry that at the end of their years, just nothingness. All of these people need the truth that we celebrate here every Sunday, and I fear we take for granted. But you won't take this truth for granted if you'll share it with somebody else. And you'll see how much they appreciate it, and through their eyes and through their appreciation, gain a whole new appreciation for yourself of this beautiful gift that God has given us, his grace, and his peace and mercy in Christ. And you never know that your kind gesture, your compassion, your invitation, your word of witness may just open the kingdom of God to another soul so that they too may be ready. You never know. In Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.